WPFW, Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening and welcome. These guys are jumping. Scared the living Jesus. Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Raucous Caucus. My name's Garland Nixon. I couldn't remember if you guys have my name's Mark or Terry, but I think tonight I'm Garland Nixon. I'm here with
Mark Levine
and Terry D. Kester, the Doctor of Democracy. I don't know how you guys survived without
Terry.
Me,
but, I'm afraid we're gonna have to change your name.
We
gotta change his name. Last week, and Mark is a witness to this. Last week, Terry, Mark and I. We were looking confused.
We were enlightened,
and we couldn't figure things out, and we realized what we were missing. Sagacity.
That's not what you said last week,
Garland.
We were missing.
Garland, last week you said we're missing someone who's wrong.
Well, he hasn't heard the tape.
I know he hasn't.
Terry's here this week.
I have the tape and the computers and the audio port, and my lawyers will be in touch.
Oh, there you go.
I love you, but my lawyers will be in touch with you.
So, well, we're going to change it from the Doctor of Democracy to the Doctor of Sagacity.
Why not?
So that's Terry D. Kester, the Doctor of Sagacity.
Thank you.
There's no alliteration there.
Yeah, well.
He's got to be like the surgeon or the sergeant or the
Surgeon of Sagacity.
That sounds
really sick.
I don't know.
All right. Welcome home, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Super Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we got a great announcement to make.
Oh, yes.
We worked very hard for this. And, of course, we've got to thank Nizam Ali, the owner of Ben's Next Door. We are starting a new Ben's program, and we want to let everyone know about it because there's always been some confusion. Is it second Tuesday, fourth Tuesday, fifth Tuesday? It gets very confused, and we've changed it.
Mark was always confused. I think you missed about 14 of our shows. Is that correct?
So we're going to do month to month at Ben's. So this month in March, we're going to be in studio all month.
Hooray. That's sort of the way I dated most of my life.
It was always their choice that it was. You took the month on, and they chose the month off, right?
Jen. Poor Jen. We're going to be all month of March in studio taking your calls. Happy to have you call in. But we're preparing you because all of next month, all of April, we will be at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street.
Which means you can show up every Tuesday.
Every single Tuesday in April. At Ben's. Bring your friends. If you like a show, you can bring them the following week. We can build a larger loyal audience.
And get closer to the revolution because we'll have some continuity.
That's right.
The
revolution starts in April.
That's right.
Revolution starts April 1st.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's April Fool's Day.
Fool's Day. It's all the same in America.
April 3rd is
whatever
Tuesday.
It is, we're going to call it a revolution.
Yeah.
This perception is reality. Okay. So we got plenty to talk about. And of course, as you know, we're going to be talking about women's issues. Unfortunately, we're going to be talking about women's issues with some of the subjects we're going to talk about today, but it's Super Tuesday. The Republicans are trying to decide who gets voted off the aisle. And Terry's shaking his head in disgust. I got to go to Terry first. Terry, you're shaking your head in disgust. What's that all about?
Let me tell you here. I'm quoting Walter Lippmann,
one of my heroes. Now we're in real trouble.
I didn't even know Lippmann knew Romney and said Torling.
Lippmann was one of my close friends. Anyway.
I believe that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
You're his mentor?
Some people won't like this, but that's tough. No one expects, this is Walter Lippmann, no one expects a steel worker, a musician, or a banker to understand physics. So why should they be expected to understand politics? What is needed, he said, is an... I'll skip that part because you won't like that at all.
You have to have
some intellectual guts.
That's what you're here for. Okay.
What is needed, Lippmann said, is a network of organized intelligence gatherers shielded, the keyword, from the dangers of democratic interference. It is, after all, because they are compelled to act without a reliable picture of the world that governments, schools, newspapers, and churches make such small headway against the more obvious failings of democracy. The point being, the clowns that are voting for today for Santorum and Ron Paul haven't got a clue of what this world is about.
Yeah, it's the ones that are voting for Romney that are...
No! No,
come on, Terry. This guy's worth $250 million. He has amassed great personal wealth.
He has bought so many friends. Yeah.
He has amassed great personal wealth at the expense of many blue-collar workers.
Can I attack the one you just read?
Go ahead
and attack.
He's got to rip that apart.
I think our problem, Pace Walter Lippmann, peace to you. I think our problem is not too much democracy, but too little democracy. Our problem is not our problem is not too many people voting, but too few people voting. Our problem is not too much education for voters, but too little. I think the answer is that we have a purposeful misinformation campaign sponsored by a number of corporations and super PACs and so forth, and we don't have enough educated voters. But if that's true, let's not attack the voters. Let's attack the system that brings them the education they need.
Called the media. It's called the media.
Well, that's fine. That's why we're here.
Yes, I know.
That's why we're here.
The Raucous Caucus is the saviors of democracy.
Well,
there's no question about that.
Let's go. You know, I comment on the voters, and I say this. Let's not attack the voters, but let's not relieve the voters of the accountability for what they, you know.
Ignorance is a choice to a large degree.
I always say this. The last time I checked, everybody up there on Capitol Hill was either elected or appointed by someone that is elected. So many times.
Like George Bush, appointed by the Supreme Court.
As an example, right now, Perfect example. The Republican Party, they're looking at their choices, and they don't like their choices.
They really don't.
They're looking in the mirror.
They're smarter than you think they are.
They're looking at a guy who is super wealthy and who is pretty much self-centered and wants all the money for 1%, and everybody else starves. That's one part of the Republican Party.
Wait a minute. Just think what hair gel costs.
So let me finish. So they're looking at another choice who is pretty much a mullet head. Who is a religious, you know, American Taliban, who is really pretty clueless and is just, you know, a total ideologue. Now, in all reality, that's who the Republican Party. Those are the perfect choices for the Republican Party.
And then you have loudmouthed Gingrich, who promises the moon, literally.
Yeah, right.
and can't deliver on anything.
Yeah, so then you will like this quote.
You have all facets, I'm sure.
And
then you've got the Ron Paul live in a bunker, the world is ending crowd. So between the four of them, they do represent the Republican Party.
Precisely. I don't know what they're complaining about.
Between the wealthy and the sexual zealots, between the blabbermouth, big government, crazy solutions and the hiding in caves.
Right.
There aren't any Republicans left.
Ron Paul's the living in a lean-to guy in Montana.
That's right.
Right.
You know, but I mean, you know, I'm not going to accept your taking the blame off the voters because it is the problem.
Which we're not.
Ignorance is a choice. It truly, honestly is. Especially in this country. I mean, you can find out what's going on. You really can. You can do the research. You can read. You can find the books.
Or you can turn on Fox News and
Or you can turn
true.
On Fox News
yeah, right.
and put your
and
head
think,
in the
and
yeah, basket.
True. Wait, but how are people to know truth when we have media today?
Everyone's
biased.
Because as a former educator, the way that you know truth is understanding that you don't know truth, and you have to search.
Oh, I agree.
And
you
have to dig, and you have to question. You don't know how the atom is split, unless you do a heck of a lot of research to figure out how it is done. And you've got to read a lot, and you've got to read countervailing theories, etc. Well, politics and social activism is much more complex than that. In a sense, you've got to do the work, and the American public is sitting on their damn butt and voting for these fools.
Hey, well, when Terry asked, how do we know truth, why did I have the feeling like I was kind of reading Plato's Republic, and we were going to end up with philosopher kings.
We're all in the cave.
Who is a moral man?
Only Terry can go outside and see what's out there.
Speaking of Plato,
Terry's the philosopher king.
Now, let me give you another quote from Plato, since you brought up his name. Since you brought up Plato, Plato is the one that said democracy is a pathway to what? Not tyranny. Let me get a
Plato is what first graders shouldn't eat, right?
Plato said democracy is the pathway to dictatorship, and liberty is the pathway to tyranny. Unless checked.
And the reverse is true. But you know, just say that because it sounds good.
But tyranny is already tyranny, so you don't. There's no path. If you're already there.
So let's move on, gentlemen. So we've gone, but I think we're getting a little philosophical here. So let's go on. This is, you know, we're supposed to be talking.
Can we give Terry some hemlock?
Yes.
Speaking of that,
that's a good idea.
I brought my hemlock. That's all right. I brought mine. Yes.
No, please.
So as we move on, one of the important things to think about right now is what's going on. You know, we're at a very interesting time in America. A time when a lot of people felt as though a lot of the women's issues were being addressed.
We thought they were done in the 60s and 70s.
We kind of thought we were behind. And you know, I tell you what, I kind of understand how a lot of women feel right now. There are a lot of African Americans who, over the course of time, something would happen. You know, the Civil Rights Bill would be
the Emancipation Proclamation, 1863. Slaves actually thought they'd actually be free.
All this euphoria would come, and then they'd realize, you know, society doesn't move that fast. And I think there are a lot of probably women who are getting that shock right now, who are saying, you know, we thought
the battle for contraception was won.
We thought a lot of the
99% of sexually active women in America from age 15 to 44 have used birth control. You would think that would be enough to persuade the policymakers that maybe contraception is
but the
not
thing about
that
it is this. I don't really think this is even about contraception to most women, because there's the issue of contraception, and then this is about what was said by Rush Limbaugh, you know, the types of, this is about,
despicable.
Yeah, this is about, I think, to a lot of women, maybe I'm wrong, I'm going to ask them to call in, but I think this is about the dehumanization and belittling of women.
Absolutely.
I think this is about, a kind of a patriarchal society.
See,
that's
saying men in ropes.
Women aren't as valuable as men. Women are, you know, I mean, with Rush Limbaugh, what are we doing in this conversation? Where when we talk about men, we talk about jobs and we talk about freedom and liberty and all these things and eagles flying over and stars and stripes. When we talk about women, we talk about sex and contraception and what they should and shouldn't be done with their bodies. They're not even put in the same category as we are for discussion.
You know, it's interesting.
Sickening.
Gay people have the same problem.
Right, when gay people
want equal rights to marry, suddenly people who hate gay people, all they want to talk about is sex. And gay people are like, no, we want to take care of the 6 people we love. It's not about sex. But it's the same thing with women. It's like here, Sandra Fluke gives a really powerful story about a 32-year-old friend of hers who needed contraception to live. She needed medication.
That's all she was subject to. Medication.
To getting ovarian cysts.
Right.
And one of the benefits, her doctor, it's very clear, this is clear medical stuff, that birth control does a lot more than birth control. It regulates the periods.
It's medication. It's not just birth control.
And what it did for this woman is it prevented her from getting ovarian cysts. She went to Georgetown Law School. Georgetown being related to a Catholic, to Catholicism.
Jesuit.
Jesuit, although the majority of its students aren't Catholic and the majority of its teachers aren't Catholic. And frankly, it's a very good program because it's not a theology school.
It's
a great university. But they would not allow this woman to get the contraception, the medication that she needed, and she developed ovarian cysts, and now this woman in her 30s is infertile. And Sandra came forward for her friend who didn't want to, I guess, broadcast to the world all these personal details. But then Rush Limbaugh takes it out on Sandra. I mean, should we tell people what he said?
No, let's not.
The bottom line is this.
They can look it up. It's awful.
Here.
It's disgusting.
This is something different than I'm trying to put forth here, and that is the conversation when we talk about women. The conversation isn't even fair.
Right.
We don't even talk about the same things that we talk about. With men, we treat them as human beings. Are they going to have jobs and education? Are they going to have freedom?
I can't accept that generalization, because when you're saying we don't talk about it, I don't know what we you're
the
talking about.
The mainstream conversation.
Okay, so then you're back to the original point that the mainstream is ignorant. You know,
well,
what you're
the
coming
three
out
of us are.
Because
well,
I mean,
the
conversation. You know, the conversations that I have, that you have, that I'm sure most of our listeners have, don't reflect that prejudice necessarily. Or if they do, it's pretty darn rare. You know, so I mean, you're talking again about what people seek, and if they seek that demeaning conversation, that conversation that demeans women, sure, you can find
did,
that.
Did any of you two gentlemen see President Obama's press conference today?
No, did not.
President Obama was asked in his press conference about apparently the DNC chairman said the Republicans are declaring a war on women, and a Republican said that the Democrats are just trying to get the women's vote, and they asked Barack Obama about this, and he said, "Look, what are women going to vote on? They're going to vote on jobs and peace and immigration and their kids a good education, and they're going to vote. And I'm not going to tell women, they're certainly not going to vote just on contraception. They're going to vote on all the things that Americans vote about." And he said, "You know, I learned a long time with my wife. You know, I don't tell a strong woman like Michelle Obama how to think or what to do, and I'm not telling women voters how to think or what to do. I'll tell you this, I think that Democrats have given a lot more for Americans, including women, than Republicans have." But he didn't fall into that trap.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, essentially, you've got to realize it's almost a fault. I'm not to say that there aren't issues here involved in, you know, how insurance is, what insurance is allowed to do and who gets, you know, what rights under insurance. All of that is important. But beyond that, it's a phony issue. It's a phony issue. It's just another one of these issues that the Republicans have grabbed, you know, just.
Well, contraception isn't a phony issue.
I'm not saying that. I didn't say that.
All right.
Don't you put words in my mouth, you young man, you.
Yeah, but yeah, I understand what you're saying, Terry. And
get off my lawn!
Part of that is, you know, let's face it, you know, about 85% of the issues that we get in the mainstream conversation
are phony issues.
But I think that
like
there
jobs.
Is, there is
as if a president of the United States can create jobs. Give me a break. Does anybody understand the economic system in this country?
I think the president of the United States can have a major effect on the nation's economy.
I remember a guy named FDR.
I remember a guy named FDR.
Well, that's jobs.
FDR!
You're talking about that's a very interesting point. That really kind of gets us to the heart of where we're headed to here today. You're saying a president can have an effect on jobs.
Absolutely.
Yes. If the bully pulpit is alive and well and can be manipulated.
And if you can have a Congress that helps him out.
And if you can have an
intelligent.
Or if you, and this is key, if you can have an intelligent conversation about it, which with the Republicans and many of the Democrats, you can't have that intelligent conversation. We know what Roosevelt did. We know what the Conservation Corps did. I was just
what Harry Truman did.
You know, what Harry Truman
came back from the war.
We all know this can be done.
What George Bush did. Cost us millions of jobs.
Yeah. We all know throughout the history of America that it's not, quote, industry that created jobs. It was either usually opportunity and usually subsidized opportunity.
And also consumers.
But,
again,
the point is for a candidate, be it Mitt Romney or Obama or anybody, say, I'm going to create jobs and I'm the job president, is nonsense because that denies our political system and our social system. And either the political system, the social system, including those voters who have got to educate themselves, are aware of what it takes to create jobs, you're not going to have them.
Well, let me say this, though.
A president can't do everything is my point.
Obviously that's true.
Yeah, but. Yeah.
But they can do something.
And here's what they can do. They can drive policy.
Right.
We get so caught up in saying president or Congress that we forget what really changes the economy, what really changes, et cetera, is policy. Now, when you have policy,
now we're getting closer.
Policies that benefit a very small portion of the people.
Right.
Okay. But I say this to say that. Is that depending on who the president is or depending on who who's in Congress or who's in charge can affect policy. So it's not necessarily the president as though he's some individual waving a magic wand, but
right.
It is a person who drives policy that makes it. And if you look as an example, you need go no further than the Bush administration. And let me give you an example. One of the things that the Bush administration consistently did was brought in people such as the Department of Interior. They'd bring in people from the timber and the mining industry, from the Department of Energy. They brought in people from the oil. They blurred the line much more so than it had been before or has been since between corporation and business, and that had a significant effect on our environment and our economy. So while the president himself doesn't just wave a magic wand, depending on his appointees, depending on who he puts in the Supreme Court, and we have
Citizens versus United,
the president
and
can drive policy through his appointees, through his Supreme Court. So the president can change the face of this nation, by a lot of his actions.
Well,
let's
he
go to
can
Mark.
Have influence.
Let's go to Mark.
Well,
as you Mark?
Say, well, one of the things that I think you're dead on, Garland, is that George Bush did put the foxes in charge of the hen houses, right? Yeah. They put the oil companies in charge of oil regulation. They put the pharmaceutical companies in charge of health regulation. It's kind of like...
And Obama left them there. Don't leave that.
No.
Oh, come
on.
I
disagree.
In oil? Pharmaceuticals? Oh, no.
But look, guys, let me tell you how exciting things are tonight. I haven't even given out the number, and
we
already
have
called. I think some of it may be about the women's issues. I'm hoping it is, but and particularly, here's the thing, particularly, if there are some women out there, we've got three men here who are saying, women feel this way or that way, and so we're talking about women's issues. If there are some women out there who want to say how they feel about what's going on, particularly, I'll tell you what I'd like to hear. The name calling from Rush Limbaugh, the names that were called and the way this woman was characterized and the way she was treated, how that makes women feel, that's what I want to know. So at any rate, but anyone can call. Here's the number. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Anyone can call. But if you're a woman out there and you want to tell us how that made you feel, go for it. Let's start off with Tony. Tony.
Hi. I was just going to say with that whole thing with, covering the birth control.
Yeah.
Not every place covers dental. You don't go to the government and have the government say, oh, you now must cover dental because you're prejudiced against teeth or something. It's stupid. There's a dozen universities in D.C. There's free competition. She doesn't like that one. She can go to another university. She can go and buy the stuff on her own like I did in college. We're about to go to a war with Iran with a peace-loving president, supposedly, which everybody voted in. And that's all we can talk about? Come on, guys.
Yeah, it is a phony issue. I certainly agree with Tony on that.
Well,
it's a phony issue.
Just a second.
It's a phony issue.
I don't think that's what Tony was saying.
First of all, I don't know how much birth control pills Tony bought when they have them for men too, which are coming out, by the way.
Yeah.
First of all,
I have to tell you, we have a guest here in our studio, a friend of ours named Heidi, and her reaction and her face to that news. This
I
is a woman who's in favor of
male birth control.
But look, that's good news. But that's good news for women. You know why? Because then I can guarantee you they'll be covered.
Just like Viagra is covered.
If it's for men, bunch of guys sitting around will suddenly have a change of heart.
Let me tell you, there's an article in New Republic that talks about the fact, because some Republicans are like, hey, birth control, it's just $9. What's the big deal? The answer is it depends on the woman. And birth control is a lot, most of it is extra estrogen, and it doesn't work for all women. For some women, they need completely different kinds. And some of it, like I said, is for medical reason, like Sandra's friend. This could cost more than $1,000 a year. The idea that, we cover Viagra, but we don't cover...
It's just the opposite of birth control.
Exactly. But we don't cover what women need. The idea that, how about prostate stuff, Tony? I mean, do you think that should be covered? This idea that, we'll cover men's
but
needs,
you know,
but we won't cover women's needs is sexist.
No, you're not even talking about the issue, honestly. You really honestly, because you can't talk about it without bringing in the church, the Catholic Church, and that's
sexist too.
That's where it all centered.
Sure, it's all sexism. It's all men in robes telling women what to do with their bodies.
You can view it that way, but many devout Catholics, of course, would not view it that way. And you can't.
Yeah, but
I know a lot of devout
control.
Catholics who do believe it that way.
They're taking birth control.
But you can't.
The majority of Catholics,
you can't leave that.
Do not agree.
You
with
can't
that
make that kind of statement.
I
mean, you simply can't. Well, document it.
I know the polls.
Document it.
This is
more than
90% of Catholic women use birth control.
That's a difference.
And the majority are against that.
That's
church,
a difference.
In America, at least, are against that the church's policy.
That is a difference.
Terry, I will have this is talk radio, and if we have to substantiate our claims, we'll all be out of
no,
a job.
No, polls show the majority of Catholics oppose the church's position in America.
In America. But the Catholic Church is not just in America, you understand.
We're going to line two. Clay here is going to put
this down. I don't regulate outside America.
You're talking about regulating religion
I'm not regulating the church.
Of course you are.
Let me get a chair. I've got two lions here.
It doesn't regulate the church to allow a woman to have access to birth control.
Okay, we're going to Clay on line two. Clay, that's right.
I want to get to our female caller, Maria.
But Clay is next.
All
Clay.
Right, go ahead, Clay.
Can I talk now?
Yeah. Sure, Clay, please.
Shut these clowns up.
I got to tell you guys, when I listen to the show, most of the time it kind of turns into, you might be intrigued by the analogy into kind of an intellectual pissing contest. As in, an intellectual pissing contest made by a bunch of smart guys.
Well, so, I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult, or both.
Irony. The second ironic thing is that the Republicans trot out some kind of attack dog like Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Incense liberal sensibilities, and then when the liberal sensibilities are fully incensed, then they have another attack dog who goes out and attacks liberals for being so sensitive. It's all the same. It's all the same track. Well, I'll tell you what it is about. It's purely about sex. It's not about whether you take a Catholic poll versus a Protestant poll, because the people in that committee that, you know, turned away Sandra Fluke weren't all Catholic. They were all men that just literally wanted to control, yes, a woman's vagina.
You know,
there is a sexual fetish when men, some men, feel the need to control women.
Well, you know, I think, here's something I think.
Clay's pretty sharp.
Yeah, but here's something I think, ultimately. I don't think it's about sex. You know what I think it's about?
Control.
I think it's about power and control.
That's what Clay's absolutely done.
Yeah, we've got to keep these women in their place, and we can't allow them in the conversation. God forbid that. You know what's interesting? You're never going to see a congressional hearing where they line up a whole bunch of women. And all of the people, you know, then all of the people there are women, or all the people there are the particular group that is being affected. It's like, oh, well, this is going to affect the Latinos or whatever. Let's put all the, that's never going to happen. It's all going to be one group that feels that they should have power, or that whoever's there feels that they should have power.
We have a woman online there waiting to talk to us.
Terry, you're in deep trouble. Why do I have that feeling?
I have no doubt.
I want to hear from Maria.
Maria!
Hey.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
I don't know where all the women are, but you asked for a comment on what Rush Limbaugh had to say.
Go
to,
for it.
Ms. Fluke. And, you know, one of you guys, and I can't keep you straight, you talk too fast and you're all too crazy, and I love you and thank you for being who you are. But, you know, Rush Limbaugh's comment was really demonstrative of what one of you guys had to say in terms of how women are dealt with. It's all about property. It's all about what women are. It's not about women's issues at all. It's about men dealing with women as though they were property. If some guy goes out and he talks about birth control, or he talks about having premarital or extramarital sex, it's no big deal. If some poor female comes on and says, hey, we need to have birth control for women, or it needs to be covered by health insurance, all of a sudden she's a whore. And that's what he called her.
Oh, yeah.
Call it what it is. That's what he did. The wonderful thing about our country is we have free speech. And the one thing that we gain from all of this, and we can never, ever, ever forget it, you've got to know who your enemies are. They come out of the woodwork and they say things like that. You've got these guys like McDonald who want to say, okay, let's have intrauterine.
He wants to stick something in women's private parts for his own personal gain. That's what he wants.
He backed off of that a little bit.
When he got pushed. So now he has something that's completely useless.
No, we'll just do regular ultrasounds, external abdominal ultrasound.
Right.
But it's all about the same thing. Women are property.
Yep.
Women do not have...
They don't know what's best for themselves. It's like a child. It's like, well, why can't we trust a woman and her doctor to give her the medical procedure we want? No. We men have to control what a woman and her doctor in their most private moments, what she does with her most private parts. Some people... You know, the Republicans complain all the time, Washington has too much regulation. How dare they stop us from putting arsenic in the water.
Except when it comes to the vagina.
But when it comes to a woman's vagina...
We would never know that's what we're dealing with.
You've got to admit there's one.
I want to be president of the United States.
We've got to admit there's one piece of good news, though. The sponsors that have pulled out of Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
If that could start a trend, I would be so happy. The backlash
among Republican women who are disgusted by this.
Money
and
talk,
recognizing,
yeah.
frankly, well, who their party
I'm gonna,
supports.
I'm going to introduce a term. We've got to get ready to go in a second here, and we're going to do a...
It's called a break.
A break?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
I was coming up with the word. That's a long word. But there's a term.
An intermission.
Called benevolent sexism. benevolent sexism.
I don't think there's any benevolent sexism.
No, no,
I think it's just sexism.
No, I do think it is.
But I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
There are men. No. There are men who, these men feel that women don't know what's good for them, and it's in their best interest,
it's
and you're looking out for them. And it happens, you know, but that's the term. They feel like we're doing good for them. We're looking out for them. We're helping them out.
It's paternalism is what it is.
There's a lot of times when men do things for women, and it's like, well, let me help you. Let me do that. And it's pretends, it appears on the surface that they're doing something to maybe help them. And in their mind, they're doing something to help them. But what they're really doing is, in their mind, they think, well, the woman, you know, doesn't really know what she's doing, so I've got to help her. I've got to do this for her. And I think
the answer is there's some people who don't know what they're doing and need help. And there are people who know what they're doing and don't need help.
Right.
And it's got nothing to do with whether they're men or women, period.
Yes. Well, right now, something has to do with whether we're men or women, and that is the fact that we are going away for a minute, and when we get back, we'll figure out whether or not we're men or women.
We're going to be calm and quiet.
And look, we've got
peaceful.
People.
That's
oh my
unlikely.
Gosh. We got Tesfa, Jay, Karen, and Rashid.
Wow.
We'll be right back.
But it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl.
I'm sure you must get very bored by the constant fiction that you and Bette Davis are positively daggers
She'd
drawn.
She'd kill you if she heard you say Bette. She's a fascinating actress, Bette Davis. I've never had time to be friends with her because we only did the one picture.
You are disgusting. After all I've done for you, you spy on me. And all I'm trying to do is help.
Who are you trying to help with? What are you planning to do with me when you've sold the house? What you have in mind, some nice little place where they could look after me?
One other sequence I must ask you about, which is the dead rat sequence in Baby Jane, which I think perhaps as much, if not more than Psycho, really frightened me half to death. How scared were you on that moment when you lifted up the Turin cover?
More frightened than you, really, because I refused to work with anything but an empty plate. And when I knew the cameras were ready, then I said, you may bring it on. And something went wrong, technically, with the camera. And I said, don't take the lid off. Leave it. Just take it away. And I still kept the emotion ready for it. And when the technical things were fixed on the camera and the lights, then we went in, and I was still ready, and away we went. Take one. You want to bring the audience in with you, so close to you. You want to put them in your lap, in the palm of your hand. And it's very exciting when you go to the theater and found that you've done it in a couple of scenes. It's wonderful to be a perfectionist.
We got power, man. Yeah.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Well, welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm here with
Mark Levine
and
Terry D. Kester,
the Doctor of Sagacity, of course, the Doctor of Sagacity. And you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. WPFW, just want to let you know we are going to be here in the studio
all month.
Every Tuesday we will be here. We'll be taking your calls. We'll be talking to you. We'll be having a blast. Next month,
in April,
we're going to be in Ben's Next Door every Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m.
It's easy to remember where we are. If it's March, you call us. If it's April, you come visit us.
Come visit us. So
and it's going to go back and forth like that.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got
so like
plenty
June,
of time.
We'll be back in the studio. Yeah. July,
No. May is the month after April.
Is May still on the calendar?
I thought we got rid of May. You can't agree on anything.
He doesn't even know the calendar.
Which calendar? Are we using the Augustan
calendar?
Well, can we move on? We've got four callers.
It's in December. We're all doomed anyway. It's 2000. Oh, wait a minute. There's
four callers waiting for Terry to learn the month.
89.3 FM
Details.
89.3 FM WPFW here in Washington. Tesfa.
Good evening, the three great hosts.
Good evening,
Tesfa. The three stooges.
Thank you very much. How do we get women to be taken seriously? They have run for the presidency. They have run the corporations. They have been in legislative offices. But still, they are not being taken seriously.
how do they get to the point where they could be taken seriously? That is the issue.
I think it depends on the woman. You know, there are plenty of women that they get taken very seriously. And it just depends on really who the woman is and who the person is taking it. There are women I don't take seriously, Sarah
but
Palin.
But I think he's talking,
Elizabeth Warren, I want to run for president in 2016. Yeah. She's literally my favorite person on the political stage
today.
I think Tess
was talking, you know, in a general sense, in our society taking them seriously. And, you know, it is a... You know, I would think, you know, the main reason that there is a problem, besides patriarchy and all that, and the main reason that, quote, using Tesla's phrase, that the women are not taken seriously, is marketing.
Well,
the marketing is so sexist and sex-driven, you know, that it distorts almost every social economic...
It's all Barbie's fault. It's all Barbie's fake figure's
fault. Not just Barbie, but it's GoDaddy or whatever, you know. there's just, you know, like even getting... I forgot the two names. The two names of the two NASCAR race drivers, women race drivers. Yeah, I mean, trying to get even them get them some airtime, you know, or some publicity. I mean, it's a real struggle because...
Mitt Romney understands. He knows two people who own NASCAR teams.
Right. Okay, we're going to on that note, we're going to go to Jay on line 4. Jay, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Tess, I had a good question, though. We've got to think about that.
How you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Yeah, I respect all three of you.
Thank you.
I think I need to commend you for taking this this subject to hand tonight. It's about women's sensibility. It's about women's rights. It's about women's desires. It's about their health. And I have one statement to make about all of it. If it was penis cancer, instead of breast cancer, the cure would have been found a long time ago.
Yep. I understand where you're coming from, and that is the point I was making when I said when birth control for men comes out, you can guarantee this conversation.
And that pill is
over.
Coming out.
It'll be well. Let me give out the number again. We got a couple openings. 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We're talking about.
We've got to be honest here as well, and we got to have some correction of facts. You know, occasionally, in fact. You know, the breast cancer fund drives and everything else is the largest medical fund driving and most successful fund driving of any disease.
But that's private. That's
of any disease in this country. It is not, however, the primary killers in disease. So there's something that's considered about that. And there's something almost, you know, in a sense, I don't even want to get into this, but there's something almost a little bit perverse about that in terms of sexist attitude. I mean, from a woman's standpoint, obviously it's extremely personal and extremely intimate and extremely delicate. And on the other hand, the male support of it, is that sexist as well? In some ways, it truly is.
Well,
there's one thing that men have an obsession with, besides their own cock, pardon me for saying it on the air.
This is a side issue that we can really go into a lot of detail on it. The Komen Foundation, Planned Parenthood.
But you can't say that the breast cancer drive and everything else isn't really, truly huge and massively supported for a variety of reasons.
You guys are talking about the trees, and he was talking about the forest. The guy was talking about a broader philosophical point. He was making the point that issues that affect men are going to be addressed.
Yeah, but that was a poor choice to make. Let's inject
some intellect into this conversation.
That means we need a woman. Go ahead, Karen.
Karen.
I'm calling to comment on Rush Limbaugh and how he treated the young lady. I think it's an insult to any young woman who are in college who are doing the right thing and also trying to be diligent in the political and arena. On top of that, he probably needs his OxyContin back, you know, because they took it. And, you know, although I don't know if it's been as back as far as this wasn't the first time he's done this, not the second time, and it's about time that tree is chopped down.
I'm afraid that he makes too much money for too many people, but I wish he that'd be a great day for America.
Well, thank you.
You know, I mean, the unfortunate fact is, and it gets back to one of the original points which I was talking about, the voter having to educate themselves, is Rush Limbaugh has had probably more effect politically than any single person in this country in the last 20-30 years.
Not than the presidents, but
he has basically defeated presidents.
He's been a very powerful man.
Misinformation information. Yeah. And we're going to Rashid next.
By the way, but just one thing about Rush. I got personal privilege. Rush Limbaugh, and I'm very, very proud of this, personally attacked me. And I got to say, I'm honored.
You're not going to give the whole list of people that personally attacked you.
Lots of people personally attacked me. When Rush Limbaugh personally attacked me, I was
that's
so
a badge of honor.
It was a badge of honor. He said that I was not only a blithering idiot, but a glittering jewel of colossal ignorance. Or as he put it, a glittering jewel of colossal ignorance. And I got to say,
which part was the attack?
When Rush Limbaugh calls you ignorant, you know that you're brilliant. So I got to say, it's the highest compliment I ever received. Being
Mark,
attacked by Rush Limbaugh.
I can only say that now it's true, and I think Terry and I both need to repeat these words. We are not worthy to be in your presence.
I got to tell you, to be attacked by Rush Limbaugh is a great, great joy.
Rashid online too.
Yes, thank you for the call. You know, first of all, we should respect the womb that bore us in the world long before the United States. So I'm not classifying the United States and no constitution. I'm not going into that because it don't make sense. Second, I agree with all the calls that you have. First of all, if you want to know something about a woman, ask another one. Rush Limbaugh, when he came to the world, he should be grateful because his mother could have flushed him down the toilet. I think we all can qualify that, just to show you just how much importance that women are not getting. It's amazing how they tolerate this, and they carry us for 9 months in the world. They suffer our heartbeat, emotions, and everything. And I'm a hardy, I'm a man, just like most of y'all are. But most of hen-picked men, they might say anything. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. We've got a lot of women standing by. 202-588-0893. Pat. I made an assumption, but Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
Good.
We're fine.
I enjoy your show every week, and thank you, Pat. Crazy guys, but I do enjoy it. But
it's a dosage problem.
I really don't want to necessarily address Rush Limbaugh because he is, other than saying he's despicable, and Clear Channel should have him removed immediately.
Here.
And fortunately, I signed a petition for those advertisers who are on his station, who have actually, all of whom have left his advertising bureau, so to speak, because those Pro Flowers and people like that are companies that I and a lot of women that I know support.
Used to.
So as far as I was concerned, I was not going to be dealing with any of them as long as they continued to give any of their money to his show.
It's the power of citizen action.
Right. Yeah. But the broader thing that I think we also need to look at, and yes, there's been a lot of defaming of women and all of that that's been going on for history, and it has gotten worse, along with the need to get rid of, you know, like the whole thing about public sector employees and unionists and immigrants and people of color. And if you look at everything that's been happening over the last few years, some of which started with President Obama being elected, and suddenly those who didn't elect him, are saying, oh, we can't have this black man in charge of the world, which basically, because of our global influence or whatever, that's part of that. But the other thing is that over the last few years, there's been a constant eroding of all of those freedoms and opportunities and, you know, the things that we're supposed to be, that pursuit of happiness. There's been an erosion of that among women, or in the attitude about women, about people of color, about immigrants, and about working people, especially as considered by the quote-unquote white male establishment that was sitting in that hearing last week that denied Susan Fluke the opportunity to be able to speak on behalf of her friend. If you look, there were very, very few black people in that room. That's not to say there weren't, but there were very few, and most of them were not vocal.
You are making a very important and very big point, because what is really happening here, and this is just one of the symptoms of it, is the Republicans, primarily the Republicans, but some Democrats as well, but primarily are trying to shred all of the social progress, the humanitarian progress, the racial civil rights progress that's been made in
Union
the last
progress,
all, yeah, all of that in the last four decades, they are trying to shred. whether it's dealing with women or dealing with, you know, blacks or dealing with unions, it's the same ethos within them to just tear that apart so that they can be on the top
of
the hill.
For Republicans, it's always the 1950s or earlier.
Yeah, and it's always just raw power. It really does come down to that, no matter what the issue is, and they want the power.
Yeah, the other thing is this. I think to the far right and to that group, they viewed the Obama election for a number of reasons. There were a lot of young people. There was a very diverse group of people who voted.
How dare those young people
consider
themselves American?
I think they viewed that as a revolution, and now they see themselves as launching a counter-revolution. But Kay has the answer. Kay, welcome to the
Hi, Kay.
Welcome to WPFW.
Hello, this is Kale.
Kale.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having you.
I have a comment and an opinion. Bleeding heart liberals and diehard conservatives are all the same. It's just two different extremes, different ends of the pendulum. Rush Limbaugh, he made a statement early. I hope that Obama fails. And I was with him. I was with him. He's made some comments. Okay, hey, he's made a few comments, bonehead comments. That's to be expected of heterosexual males. Sometimes we get a little wire and cross sometimes, and we say some things. But at the end of the day, if you take a look around, the young lady who just commented, she spoke in one breath about, okay, well, a black man in office, and that was an issue, and what there weren't any white people, I mean, there weren't any black people in the meetings, but at the same time, this same black man had set us back. I'm not even going to get into that, but look at here. There are things that need to be in place. Women need men. Men need women. There are roles that need to be defined, and a line needs to be drawn in the sand. Neither of which is taking place right now. All of us murked up. All of us murky. Someone needs to take a stand up, say right is right, wrong is wrong.
Who are you going to allow to make that definition? Who do you want government making that decision and that defining that? Do you want some? You want a king to make that kind of division?
Maybe Jeannie has the answer.
You know, I don't know if that's going to
work. You know, I've noticed generally when people say we've got to define what's right and what's wrong,
They always
happen to know what's right. Somebody else knows what's wrong. You know, when it's just like when people say it's a battle of good and evil, and they never say I'm on the side of evil.
Of course not.
It's always the other side.
But on the other hand, we do thank you for calling, and we will accept people who disagree with us.
And you know what?
This is WPFW.
We need diverse opinions. We need to find out. You know, we can't pretend that people don't feel different.
I mean, if we'd had a time to debate that, I was asking a serious question. Okay, let's accept your hypotheses. Now, who makes this? Who draws the line in the sand? Who makes the definitions?
Good point.
Who defines right and wrong?
Who says these defined roles? Then, if people don't want to fit in those defined roles, who's to tell them they have to?
Yeah.
But Jeannie's going to give us the answer.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. I actually have a comment about the idea that conservatives are getting frustrated at the idea that liberals turned this argument in the birth control argument into one about women's rights when it was originally posed as a question of religious freedom.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I really do think that because a religious institution like Georgetown does not bar people from other religious groups from attending, does not bar them from being hired, it's actually an infringement on personal, individual religious beliefs. I'm an atheist who attended a Jewish university, and this is a very minor issue, but if everything in the dining halls had been kosher, I would have been frustrated about that, because suddenly the choice is being taken out of my hands, and the insinuation that I should kowtow to the beliefs of an institution to be able to attend is really an infringement on my beliefs.
But one question about that, and that is, and you know, I'm a very, very left-leaning person, but it does come back to the issue that, you know, you can choose not to go there. I mean, there's that issue is there if you say, well, they only have one kind of food or whatever. I mean, I think there's a difference between healthcare coverage and between, we're talking about two different things between healthcare coverage
and
what's served in the cafeteria. Because, you know, here's the thing about it. Because what's served in a cafeteria affects you. If you're black, white, green, gray, or grizzly, male or female, you know, you get whatever you're going to get in the cafeteria. But when we talk about healthcare coverage that affects one gender in a negative way, and the other, and it doesn't affect the other gender. I think it's, I understand what she's saying, but I think it's a totally different
argument. It's also something that's very important that, that a lot of people, it's been lost in a lot of this. In the original Health and Human Services regulation, the Catholic Church and all churches and synagogues and mosques and religious institutions, all of them are exempt from the healthcare law, right? If you are a church, mm-hmm. and you want to, whether it's your priest or your nun or frankly your janitor or your secretary working for the church, then the Catholic Church can deny women contraception, right. can do whatever they want healthcare. Religious institutions were absolutely exempt. What happens is you have these religious affiliated institutions, yep. that are not for Catholics alone. Things like universities.
Hospitals.
Yeah. There are a lot of good hospitals in this country. I would say the majority of them seem to be either Catholic or Jewish.
Originally founded by religious organizations.
Right. Yeah. And they serve everybody, and we want them to serve everybody. But, and they also get our taxpayer dollars. Universities do. Hospitals do. Yeah. Catholic Charities get 62% of its funding from taxpayers, federal, state, or local.
And
when we don't pay taxes.
And religious organizations don't pay
taxes.
So
if we, the taxpayer, we, the whole American people, not just Catholics, but all of us support these institutions, universities, hospitals, and charities, then like, they got to play by federal law. Otherwise, they shouldn't take federal funds. So for the church alone, I support exempting them, and Obama did exempt them.
Yes.
And that is an institution by Catholics, for Catholics. That is a religious institution. A university, a hospital, charity, that's your
option. You know, and apart, though, what you're describing here is only part of the confusion here, and this is one of the tragedies in America. In one sense, we have sort of the worst combination possible, in the sense that we have a supposedly governmental mandated to some degree healthcare system, but it's directed strictly towards companies that can make profit off of that mandate. So we've got that conflict automatically creating confusion. Now we add into it the social role conflict
and religion,
and we've got really a dumb system.
There should be
All three of us support universal national health care. We don't have that.
None of these questions should even be coming up.
Well, there's one other thing. We're going to go back to our callers. The other thing is this. I think this entire outrage for religious freedom and all that is so fake because it's selective. These people had no problem. A Muslim group wanted to build a mosque in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and they burnt things in the area.
That's right.
A poor Muslim person can't walk the street with a hijab without these crazies
opening a mosque.
Going after
opening a mosque, but they want
the Catholic Church, which the mass majority of Catholics in America don't follow.
Right.
They want this particular teaching to be enforced on non-Catholics.
So
they won't let a Muslim group build their own mosque right here in America. But at the same time, not only can you imagine the outrage if they didn't allow a Catholic church, it was a cultural center.
Here's the thing. When they say, well, this is the greatest attack on religious freedom. No, I think you launched
that's
the greatest
right.
attack
that's
on
exactly
religious freedom
right.
on the Muslim community.
Exactly.
It's fake. It's selective outrage. Okay.
Thank heavens, you know, we're unified in outrage on darn near everything.
There's a bright line rule where you have a religious institution for that religion that takes care of that religion, that's funded entirely by that religion. They should have complete First Amendment freedom to do whatever they want. When government funds comes in and they...
Well, they can't do virgin sacrifices and murder and child rape.
But they should have a lot more freedom. But when you have an institution that gets taxpayer dollars and serves the public and has people that are not of that religious faith work there and eat there and they serve them, then they become that they're a public
institution.
All they're asking
is that the corporation that does it
right
offers it
the insurance company, the
religious institution isn't even involved. But we got a few people, we got a little bit more time, and people are very excited about this issue. We got Marvin.
Hi, Marvin.
Troy and Garland, how you doing?
Wonderful.
I love
it. Hey, I'm gonna make you think now. Hey, I hear you talking about the Republican Party is the extreme party.
Yeah.
They're attacking President Obama and everything. They want to see him fail. But if you look at the whole system per se, both parties get funded by multinational corporations. They make deals with pharmaceutical companies, oil companies. I see just a little difference in both parties.
I see a huge difference.
It's the same system
I mean, I see no difference. I mean, you said that we should. I mean, are you saying in general that because the Republican Party is the extremist party, they're the party of no, but the Democratic Party, I see it just as fascist and extreme.
No,
they are in the hip pockets of the corporations. There's a massive amount of poverty in this country. They're not investing into the needs of the people either.
Good point.
We have massive amount of poverty. They make deals with Saudi Arabia and these other countries as far as all of this military spending. Well, weapons deal, I see no difference. It's the same fascist system that outsources jobs, that does the same thing over and over again, even under Clinton.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And here's what I will
and
say.
Marvin,
here's what I will say about Marvin.
Yeah.
And I'll say,
we've had this
I will accept,
many times.
Here's what I will accept. That you see no difference. I can accept when anyone says, I see no difference. To me, when you talk about racism, when you talk about xenophobia, when you talk about religious freedom, when you talk about what's going on with women's rights, when you talk about gay rights, when you talk about, on and on and on. There are a host of differences
right.
over tremendously, over very, very
I
significant
differences. Difference yeah. between people whose hearts are in the right
yeah.
place and
yeah.
do imperfect things,
yeah.
and people whose hearts are in the wrong
now,
place and ruin things.
It's actually, there's a term for that. The fallacy of association. It's called the fallacy. It's a logical fallacy, the fallacy of association. If I can find one or two things, or if I can find some things that are similar about any two people or group, then I make the association that all things are similar, as in Glenn Beck. Barack Obama has a nose. Hitler has a nose. Hey, Barack Obama's just like Hitler. It works the same way. You can just kind of expand it out as an umbrella and say, I found 10 things about, the fact of the matter is this. I can find every 10 or 20 things about the Democrats and the Republicans that are alike. But if I find one thing that's different, that's significant to me, such as women's rights or sexism, one thing that's significantly different, that thing is good enough for me to vote in the direction of the party for that one issue. Oh, we only got a couple minutes.
We got two callers.
We got KO. And there's KO and Megan. KO. And Megan, hold tight. We're getting to you. KO. Uh-oh, Kale, make sure your radio's
down.
Turned down. We'll get messed up with the delay.
How you doing?
Well,
earlier, Kale. One of you was said you wanted to ask the question of who the person would select to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to nominate Mother Nature as a decision maker when it comes to this gender or this rate or the homosexuality. You know, there were some people who thought that our skin color was wrong and bad, even though Mother Nature said that was what we were supposed to be. So Mother Nature should decide on what's right.
Well,
what's
if
that,
Mother
that
Nature
would work.
Makes all the decisions, then we have to not treat any people with cancer or heart disease because Mother Nature determines they should die.
Well, the question just becomes, I mean, you know, I see what he's trying to say, but
yeah.
question becomes, again, who interprets what Mother Nature
yeah,
does?
Yeah, yeah, again,
and,
because,
and plus, homosexuality is in every single animal species
and
in the kingdom.
And what happens
so,
is
I guess it's natural.
Exactly what Terry says. It goes from an interpretation to.
Yeah,
but at any rate,
this
is
one
more,
call
we've got more important things here. We've got you guys are insignificant. We've got Megan.
Oh,
Megan, welcome to
heavens.
WPFW.
Our last chance
hey
at sagacity.
Hey,
hi,
hey,
Megan.
You guys are like a party on the radio. Like,
a real
and,
bad
and we're
party.
Sober for the most part.
I always thought we were like
the
hangover. We're like the hangover after party. Well, it's Megan's turn, guys.
Yes.
Megan.
I think as a proud feminist, one of the things that I've noticed, and this is just from, you know, from my perspective and from my experiences, is I think a lot of female empowerment will come when the shift happens, probably in my generation, because I'm 28, but when the shift becomes less about what separates us and more about what makes us all the same, you know, gender, race, class,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, instead of focusing on, you know, this is what is different about us, which is
absolutely necessary. At some point, I think it's going to shift to, okay, yeah, there are all these differences, but the similarities are more, you know, between the parties even, you know, because I've seen a lot of sexism amongst liberals and all that shit. So I don't think, you know, liberals or left are not sexist or racist or classist or whatever. And I've seen lots of strong women that may not be like me. They may be very religious and Republican women that totally disagree with abortion, but they're strong women, you know. And I think if we start shifting our gaze more into, you know, who's right and who wins and who comes out on top, and shift it more to what do we all have in common and what are we going to do to keep this country moving forward. And also,
out of time.
Yeah, we're running out of time, unfortunately. Megan, it's call
in again, please, Megan.
Yeah,
please,
we certainly appreciate it. And
it was nice to end with Sagacity.
And the other thing that's important is this. We're going to be here in studio. We're going to be taking
every
calls
week
all
for
month,
the month of March. Week.
And please, we ask you, plan for next month in April. Plan for a Tuesday when you can come on down. You can hang out with the Raucous Caucus. We've got a microphone for you to talk, and we can come down, put some faces behind the voices.
God forbid, we want to meet you all.
God
we
forbid
expect
we'll
you
lose all
there.
Of our listeners then. But we're the Rocks Caucus. My name's Garland Nixon.
I'm Mark Levine. Hey, thanks,
Terry.
I was going to say Facebook us.
Go ahead.
Calm down.
Terry D. Kester here, the doctor of the sagacity.
The doctor of sagacity. Oh, this is WPFW 89.3 FM. We want to thank